It is a scam when you don't allow everyone to operate on fair terms.
We are the Robin Hoods of sports betting. We take something back from the rich bookies and enable our customers to beat them instead.
G'day everyone, welcome along to Sunday Streams, episode 5 of Sunday Streams with Trademate Sports, where we answer your betting questions, discuss both new and old betting strategies, how to best use the Trademate Sports software, and welcome on guests from around the betting industry. But today, it's just me. So, yeah, feel free to start sending through any questions you have. But today, I have a slight bit of a plan here, and hopefully we can stick to it. Unlike always, where I seem to never get through everything that I want to talk about. Just one moment, I get this little thing up. So, today I'll go through my Trademate results, which is pretty standard. Kind of go through that every week, give you guys a bit more insight into how Trademate works, hopefully, and yeah, how I've been going personally with my results. Then finally, it's been about, I think I've tried this for the last two or three times, but I'm going to go through my betting exchange simulations, and I've got that first up on the rundown today. So what I can do is I can show you guys exactly, yeah, just how to best use the big data tool. And if you are using Trademate Pro, or if you're thinking of using Trademate Pro, how you guys can get best use out of the big data tool to find profitable presets on the betting exchanges. Next thing I want to talk about is middling, and that's kind of mixed in with what I'm going to call zero margin betting, which I'll get to later. But yeah, I've been placing a few middles lately, which have been quite fun and interesting. So I thought I'd share that with you guys too. And then lastly, I'm going to do a giveaway. So for those who stay on board until the end, I'll do a little Trademate giveaway. And I think I've got down here, I'm going to give away a free month of the analytics tool. So base, you know, go through the big data tool today and show you guys how it works and maybe run a few simulations and show how to best use it. And then, yeah, I'm happy to give a free month away at the end. So someone here that's interested can get full use of it. And I'll do the giveaway with a quiz question. So whoever answers the quiz question first correctly can have the free month of analytics tool. And as always, send through your questions throughout the stream and I will get to them. And note off the top, Carl, great that you've noticed. You've said this now, mate, but can you please, no one mentioned the Arsenal game. So I've already watched the first half. I would love to watch the second half in my own time. So highly appreciate it if people out there don't tell me what the score in the Arsenal game is. I half considered delaying the stream by an hour just to watch the end of the Arsenal game, but since I've stayed true to you folks and come on at a reasonable time, please give it back to me in the sense of not telling me what the score is. I'd love to watch the game after. So, yeah, Carl, hopefully at no point you'll see me upset about Arsenal because I will never find out what the score is. Your thoughts? Sev, I have no idea what you want my thoughts on, mate, so just clarify that for me. And Neil, looking forward to hearing about the exchanges. Well, mate, I am too, so why don't we just get straight into it? I'll quickly show my Trademate results, my latest Trademate results. So, as you can see, it's gone pretty well lately. I think the last time I showed you guys my results was when Neil was on, which was, I think, about 3 weeks ago. And I'm pretty sure I was sitting, I think it was around this point here, sitting at around a profit of about 5,000. Or maybe, it could have been, I think this is where it was actually. It was somewhere around here. So I was obviously doing pretty well, running below my EV. But then I think it was like a couple of days after I did the stream with Neil that my results just plummeted. They just absolutely plummeted all the way down to a low of 2,800 profit, which I mean is not the worst thing because I'm still in profit, but it's a bit disheartening because, you know, I went on this journey from being below zero for such a long time. I mean, I know I went up here, but yeah, I just spent a lot of time below zero in profits, and then I finally worked my way all the way up to, you know, 6,700 kind of profit, and then one day just went boom. I think this was just one Saturday or Sunday or something, and boom, got smashed. So that was pretty disheartening, but you know, that's the game. Got to get used to it. And then from there, I've built it back up nicely over the last 3 months. And yesterday I hit my EV actually, or at least I got very close. I didn't quite hit it. I'll see if I can. I don't know if I can zoom in. Here we go. But yeah, I hit it, nearly hit it there. But yeah, I nearly hit it again yesterday. So. Got very, very close, and that was exciting, but oh well. And then I've dropped back down again now. So, yeah, sitting at 7,800 profit, which I'm really happy with, only running slightly under EV. One of the big changes you'll probably notice is that I've upped my bankroll quite a bit. So lately I've been doing other kind of betting stuff on the side other than TradeMate, and yeah, that's been going pretty well too. So I have kind of put my two bankrolls together just so I'm not staking really low on TradeMate, and then or vice versa, on, because it's kind of hard to keep control of your finances and kind of betting finances and figure out like how much money you've got everywhere, I guess. But I've figured out the best way to do it now is just to understand like how much money I have in all of my betting accounts, even betting accounts that TradeMate doesn't support. And my bankroll is around 25,000 Australian dollars at the moment. So what I've done is, I just put, I don't really want anyone to see my bookmakers actually. I'll just get out of that. But I just created a fake bookmaker. That I don't use in TradeMate, and I put $6,000 in it or something, just so my bankroll is around that 25,000 number. And I just fiddle with that every now and then just to make sure that my whole betting bankroll, no matter if it's with TradeMate or whatever else I'm doing, is all the same, and I'm staking pretty consistently throughout all of my betting. So yeah, sorry, I'll answer some of these questions. So David Nelson says, what is your average bet size? We don't really have that in TradeMate, so it would have to be a guess, mate. Now it's changed a bit since I've upped my bankroll a bit, so I'm going to say, maybe around $100. Maybe a little bit more, give or take. My max bet size is $250, which is roughly 1% of my bankroll. So, yeah, but, mate, I don't really have an average bet size. I mean, we can go through. I don't want to do that again because I don't want to really show the bookmakers I'm using, just in case bookmaker decides to snoop around and be a prick. But, sorry, mate, that's the best I can give you. How many presets did you start with and how have they changed over the last 3 months? That's an awesome question, Carl. So at the moment, I would say I have about 12, 13, 14 presets. When I first started TradeMate, I used the recommended presets, and then I used the recommended presets, and I still use them through to, let's say January. January is probably the best time. So I used my own presets from then all the way to January. Sorry, used the recommended presets. And then since January, I've just started putting a consistent effort in every week or every couple of weeks to do some big data tool simulations and find more profitable areas. So the big one was tennis. That was the one that I didn't bet on tennis at all until I did all those simulations just to figure out what's going on with tennis and how I can make that work a bit better. So that was a big one that I spent a lot of time doing. And then since then I've been doing betting exchanges ones too. So yeah, I'd say maybe, pre-January I had maybe eight or nine presets, but now I've got about 14, 15, maybe just things that I found. Daniel, chill gaming, you betting on the side from any tipsters? I mean, I'm assuming your question is, are you using any tipsters? Yes, I do follow a few. What did I say? A few tipsters? Maybe just one tipster. Why not? So let's just say one or two tipsters. I mean, if you want to count following George and Nigel's picks that they give out on the podcast every Friday, then there's some more tipsters that I follow. But I mean, it's, it's only two or three bets a week. So if you include them, then I follow maybe four tipsters at the moment. So yeah. Sev says many old school value bettors are doing more live betting. Limits take longer and are bigger. Your thoughts? Yeah, well, mate, I only really do live betting when MMA is on and I'm actually able to watch it. So the limits for MMA are not the greatest. Fine for me because I'm not betting high stakes currently, so it's all right. But if you're someone looking to put some serious money down, then it's probably not the greatest avenue for you. But yes, limits, that is, and the thing is, in Australia, I'll mention this because this is important. In Australia, you can't live bet like you can in the UK or Europe. You have to call in and phone in your bet that way. So it's not really something I'm interested in doing. But I have access to Sport Market, and Sport Market allow me to bet live on all the events that they cover. I can do MMA, I could do football, probably. I haven't really done any American sports, so yeah, I could do them too. But yeah, in terms of the limits, yeah, it's a really good point. In that article that's on our help center, which if you are serious about your betting and you want to be doing this for a long time, it is the best thing to read. So if you've got a free week trial with TradeMate or if you're a subscriber, you can read this article. So go to the Help Center, Staying Under the Radar, an advanced guide. It's terrific. And what he talks about is how live betting can help preserve his Bet365 account. So yeah, read that. I'd rather you read that than me tell you how to do it. But it's, live betting is seen as a mug punter kind of thing to do. So yeah, highly advise that. Santiago, hello. What strategy do you use for MLB and NBA? At the moment, I haven't really dug deep into those markets yet, but at the moment, I'm just using the standard recommended presets for TradeMate. So, yeah. I can just send through the... I can just send through the article for you. And you can have a read through that, mate. So it's just like your stand. Oh, I don't know. So I guess I'll just let you read this and you'll understand which ones I'm using. So nothing special at the moment. Carl says, thanks for the answer. So nearly double the presets since the start and significant increase in promise since the more. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way. But the presets that I've added, the only presets that I've added is tennis ones. So I've been going really well with tennis. I can get my results up for tennis. And betting exchange ones. I'm losing on the betting exchanges so far. I've only placed like 100 trades or something. So that doesn't really mean anything at all. But let's just see how I'm going in tennis. Yeah. Yeah, so I've made 4% ROI, or 3.7% ROI on tennis so far. So yeah, it's a good point with tennis, but with betting exchanges, I'm losing. So, I mean, over time, I should be more profitable. You're right, Carl. But I think if I'm a TradeMate user and I'm taking this seriously, and I really want to maximize everything I can, I would just get the analytics package for 1 month. Or if you're using TradeMate Pro, then you can have it the whole time. I'd get the analytics page for 1, maybe 2 months, and just when you've got spare time, and just smash through it and just run as many simulations as possible on things that you're interested in and want to know more about, especially tennis, especially if you are looking to go on to use Pro. So that would be a big piece of advice from myself. Yeah, sorry, I sent that article through via the Restream thing. That was an accident, but whatever. Hello, are you betting even during week? If so, what's the best time in your opinion? That's from Detox Gamer. Sorry, my eyes are a bit shot. I can't really see very well. Detox Gamer. It's a good name. Yeah, I'm betting all the time, mate. All the time. If anything, I probably bet more during the week than I do on the weekends because just like to have a rest on the weekends most of the time. Get away from the computer. Okay. Well, I've gone through my recent results. I'm wondering if there's anything else interesting. Okay. Come, big fella. All right. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything much. So my average closing edge was probably up around 3 last time I spoke to you guys, but that's dropping back down because of my work on the exchanges. So when you're using the exchanges, the closing edge is a lot smaller. You're working with a bit of a smaller ROI, so that's to be expected. That's why that's kind of coming down, and I suspect that'll climb down or continue to climb down to like 2% once I've gotten enough trades on the exchanges, and probably stay around 2%. Yeah, anything else that's, I mean, I think just overall, like just looking at the whole graph, it's just like, it just shows how important it is to stick at it. Like there are so many points on here where you can give up. And I've talked about this a million times before, but you know, most people are going to give up at this point. If not, they probably would have given up. Honestly, most people would have given up here when they saw they'd lost $1,000 after 300 trades. But then, you know, the more educated people might even give up when it gets to here after nearly 2,000 trades. But we all know it's the long game, isn't it, fellas? It's the long game. So, yeah, just got to stick at it. All right, a few more. How many hours on average do you spend betting per week? If it's just TradeMate stuff, let's say maybe spend about an hour a day. But I mean, it's like spread out through the day. So I'll just go on for 5-10 minutes, place all the bets that are there and leave, come back later. So if I had to like do a cumulative time through the week, I'd say 1.5, 2 hours max on a weekday. and then on a weekend, the same thing. Yeah, so I'd say over the course of a week, let's say I spend maybe 10 hours on TradeMate, absolute max. And yeah, I think lately I've been placing maybe 150 to 200 trades a week. So I've been putting in a decent amount of volume. So maybe we can just check this last, what's the date today? Yeah, why don't we just check the last 2 weeks? Oh, but we had the international break, so it's not the greatest. Oh, well, still got in plenty of trades. So yeah, something around 100, that's 2 weeks worth. So something around 2,000 to, yeah, sorry, 150 to 200 trades. The 100 plus exchange bets just using the pro software. I'm not a bit confused by that question, but you have to have the pro software to be able to use the exchanges. Yeah, I hope that answers the question. Carl, Marius, what's your best week profit? Oh, I've got no idea. I wouldn't have a clue. I guess it's just got to be one of these spikes here, hasn't it? Maybe it was last week. I mean, or this lot. Oh, got no idea. I mean, I've definitely had a week where I've made like $4,000 or $5,000, maybe. But I mean, then you lose it straight away. You lose a couple grand the next week. So, yeah, as you probably know, Marius, I think you use TradeMate. Maybe, you know, there's just big swings. So, I think when you're looking at it, it's more so looking at your month. If you're gonna look at the smallest time period possible, never look at anything less than a month. So, yeah. 13 Gibney says, commission on Australian sports on Betfair. Does that have an impact on your bets? What's your opinion? I now only bet on sports where commission is 2%, and some sports in Australia, it can be near 10%. Yeah, it's terrible, mate. But the good thing is if you use Sport Market Pro, which you can get access to from Australia, your commissions go significantly down. So Betfair, if you use Betfair, it's 2.3% for all sports on Sport Market. And for Matchbook and the other ones, it's, you know, somewhere in the ones, maybe it's 2%, 1.7%, something like that. So that's how you get around that, or that's how I've gotten around that, is using Sport Market, which is a brokerage and allows you, which allows you to use all the exchanges and Pinnacle, SBO, ISN, yeah. No, any time, Marius. All right, let's get into the betting exchange simulation stuff before I get into it anymore and I steer away. I want to finally cover this topic. So let me get rid of this. Great questions so far, fellas. Been good. Okay, so this is what I have been doing. I'll zoom in a little bit so you guys can see that. I don't know if that's even zooming in, is it? Oh, geez. That's not even zooming in. All right, doesn't matter. So this is what I've been doing for exchange simulations. I basically just started a spreadsheet up. The reason why it's all black is these are the other simulations that I've done. So what I've done, gone odds types, min odds, max odds, min edge, hours from and hours to. And then I put a black line through the middle and run these simulations. And then the main results you want to be spitting out are the sample size, the closing edge, and the flat ROI. So this spreadsheet's like, you know, however many, it's longer rows than 30. But yeah, this is I think this is the start of the simulations I was doing for Betfair and Matchbook. Soccer. Recommended leagues, I think. So the process, the good thing about this is that you can just run all kinds of simulations trying to figure out all sorts of different things. And you've always got a log there that I can look back and say, oh, okay, so when I did do that, it said I had a 1.1 flat ROI. Because when you're down at cell 28, you can't, you know, you're not going to be able to remember exactly what simulation 2 entailed. So this is how I've worked it out. So I think what I'm trying to teach, or at least go over today, is how you should go about these simulations and where you can go wrong, I guess, when you're doing these simulations. So you've got four different factors here, or five actually. You've got, you're simulating for recommended and non-recommended leagues. You're simulating on odds types, simulating on odds ranges, you're simulating on edges, and simulating on hours placed before kickoff. Now, you've kind of got to rank your priorities here in terms of, because you can get this really wrong in terms of simulating for the wrong things and getting results and basing your opinions based upon things that are just up to variance, because we're talking about sample sizes here that aren't going to be too big. So in other words, the first thing you should be doing when you run these simulations is to, firstly, I would be running them based on recommended leagues, and then once you've done all your simulations there, then do it on non-recommended leagues, because we're kind of talking about two different things, recommended and non-recommended leagues. So I'd split that up, firstly. Then secondly, I would be next running simulations on odds types, because different odds markets or different odds types will produce different results. So I guess what I'm trying to say is don't, because I mean it's very hard to explain. This is for betting exchanges, by the way. This is not for like tennis or any other sport. Is that you'll find that there are some odds types like 1x2 where it's a lot easier to beat than the Asian handicaps or So don't start your simulations based on everything, I guess. I mean, this was just like a good way of just starting. Simulate everything, see what it looks like in general. Didn't look great. But then once I started doing simulations based on just 1x2 markets, the ROI started to go back up. So I guess if you're ranking in terms of, because the thing is, you don't want to be simulating 1x2, figuring out if 1x2 is profitable whilst trying to figure out if the minimum edge of 1.5 is profitable. You have to do one at a time to figure out, you know, what's what. So if I had to rank it, I'd say firstly split it up into recommended and non-recommended leagues and simulate based on that. Secondly, start simulating odds types. Third, I'd say minimum edges. That's a big one. So once you've figured out, okay, 1x2 is profitable or it's not profitable, now let's dig into what minimum edge on that market is the way to go. Thirdly, I'd say with the exchanges, I'd then look at the hours before and then look at odds ranges after that. The hours before is very, very interesting. And I'd love to, if you guys have got answers, maybe if Neil's still here, he might have answers. But because I know obviously Neil's on the exchanges quite a lot. But there are a lot of cases where a sport or an odds market is profitable with TradeMate from 1 hour before kickoff up to 24 hours. But then once you simulate 0 hours to 1 hour, it's not. So I don't know much about the exchanges and trading and all this kind of stuff. But my guess is that you're getting good odds, or you're getting value bets that are coming up in the last hour before kickoff that are losers long term. But the reason they're coming up as value bets is because maybe people are trying to trade out of positions, and so they're giving you higher odds or things that are coming up as value bets because people are going to snag them straight away because they're seen as value at the time, just so they can hedge their way out of a trade. And so that's coming up on TradeMate in the last hour, maybe like once the lineups have come out or something. And yeah, they're being flagged on TradeMate. TradeMate users are taking them because it's a value bet at the time, but it's not real value. It's kind of like, you know, it's just value because these people are trying to trade out of their positions. So I'd love to get you guys' thoughts on that. That could be the reason why. I don't know if Neil's still here. He can put his two cents in, but that was my guess. But yeah, I don't want to show you guys all the simulations I've done because that's not fair on myself. Like, I've spent my own time doing this. I know that I work for TradeMate, and you know, it's kind of my job to help you guys out in a way. But the exchange is a different thing. Like, I can, because you can never get limited on the exchanges, or at least a lot of people, you're not supposed to get limited. You can make, you know, you can make an earning out of this as a full-time job. So currently I'm not interested in giving away any of these simulations or things that I found. This is something that if you subscribe to TradeMate Pro, you can do yourself. You might not even rate what I've been doing. So, I mean, we've got recommended presets for all the soft bookies too. Yeah, let's have a look at what Neil said. Definitely lots of potential reasons why. MatchBet is doing things like two-up offers or laying off free bets, smart money coming into the market late, and team use, etc. Yeah, so I guess that's kind of similar to what I was saying. So, yeah, great point, Neil. And the last thing on this is I wanted to say is that, yeah, sample sizes might be a bit of a problem if you're doing exchange simulations or any kind of simulations. So what I would be making sure of is that let's just say you simulated this one here, the 1x2, this row here, and it came up as sample size 1000, closing edge 3%, flat ROI 10%. You just simply cannot take that and say, oh my god, I found the preset, this is going to make me a shit ton of money, this is golden, how good's this? 1000 trades is just, it's way too small of a sample size. As we know, so much randomness can happen in that sample size. So what I've done is I've only ever made any judgments over a sample size of 2000. So if I found a nice little ROI, some of these simulations have created ROIs of like 3%, 4%, 5% on the exchanges, which I'm very happy with. And they're the presets that I'm using, but they are from sample sizes of 2000 or more. I think 2000 is good enough, especially if it's a high ROI. If it was like a, a 1% ROI over 2,000 trades, then that kind of scares me a bit, because it's like 2,000 trades is not a great sample size. It's big, but not great. And I'm playing with a 1% ROI. So it's like, it could go wrong. So, yeah, maybe just send through your questions now, guys. You got any questions on all of that? Neil has said team news, I'd say, could be a big factor, especially in the EPL, where the teams come out 1 hour before. There can be significant movement based on injury sometimes. Yeah. I agree, mate. I have some water. Jacob. Didn't you think, all of you in TradeMate Sport, about creating your own mathematical model for some sports? I mean, some other approach than comparing odds with Pinnacle. Yeah. Let's just say that maybe that's been done. Yeah, maybe people in TradeMate already do that. So, I don't have any model. I'm not interested in modeling at all myself. Obviously, people can do that if they want to. But yeah, Jonas is the easiest example. He's a professional sports bettor, so he has his own systems and whatever he does. I don't think he has any models, but I know he still uses TradeMate for certain things. So, you are, well, I'll say, I can't give too much away, but yeah, there are people in TradeMate who have their own models. Let's just say that. Cool. Well, I don't know. I think that's all I really wanted to say with the exchange simulations is, I think to sum it up, let's just say that if you are going to run these simulations, first main thing is that you've got big sample sizes. Don't judge anything, I think, under 2,000 trades. Even if it's a ridiculous ROI, there's just so much luck that can be involved. And then when you're doing the simulations, make sure you figure out dig into the odds type first, then dig into the minimum edge, then dig into the hours from and to, and then dig into the minimum max odds. But I just, yeah, minimum max odds is tough because, yeah, the more defined your presets get, the smaller the sample sizes, and there's potential for just a lot of noise. So I would, hopefully that gives you guys some kind of insight. But like I said before, if I was someone that's serious about this and wants to really maximize my earnings with TradeMate, I'd get the analytics package for 1 month, which you do get if you place 500 trades in your first month, you get it for free. And if you place 100 trades in the first week, then you get it for free for your first month if you subscribe, of course. So that's what I would do. And just smash it out over a month, figure out all sorts of stuff, and set yourself up with a really good platform to get going. All right, next thing I was going to go through today is middling. Now, I've written down bookmaker promotions and middle betting. The reason for that is because this has been the easiest way that I've figured out that you can really make some money from middling. So I don't know if you guys or whoever's on the stream today were here when the guy from Parry Match. I've forgotten his name. The chief marketing officer. And he was I asked him, are there sports where you guys lose money? And he said, well, no, we break even on MMA. Or at least maybe he loses, maybe he wins a little bit there. very interesting because there's not many sports that a bookmaker will give out that they're losers on consistently. And he said the reason why they lose on MMA or, you know, don't make any money off MMA is because they offer the best odds in the market, or they at least they attempt to. And the reason they do that is because their whole marketing strategy is based around, you know, they've got Conor McGregor's ambassador or whatever he is. Mike Tyson is too. So their aim is to get combat sports, advertise combat sports as much as possible, get people in based on their really good odds in the UFC and in boxing, and as a way of getting people in. So, yeah, sorry, Donnie Brasco just said middle betting is arbitrage. Yeah, it's a form of arbitrage, but I can explain it. I'll just go on and I will explain as I go on. So basically, I've noticed, so I mean, first of all, this is a great avenue. So if you're seeing like BetVictor or any like team or, oh sorry, any bookmaker sponsoring any kind of league or like Skybet. I think Skybet, I think they sponsor the championship. Let me just look that up so I'm not speaking out of my ass. Yeah, they do. Let me know if I'm completely wrong, but it looks like they do. There's a good chance that Skybet will offer really good odds on the championship, and they will look to, this might be complete bullshit. How about we just use an example here? There is a bookmaker in Australia that heavily advertises the NRL. They are sponsors of teams, sponsors of like the broadcasters. And so what they do as a way of also sponsoring, they also want to offer really good odds, just like I mentioned with Parry Match. And so they will offer the true odds, or very, very close to it, of a game. So best example is there's a bookmaker here that offers $2 lines on the NRL, which is the rugby league here. So what that means is they have no margin at all on their risk, absolutely no margin at all. They're literally just giving you the exact true odds of the scenario, or at least in most cases they are. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking through the questions. So the reason they do that is because they sponsor the NRL. They want to get people in because their name's associated with the NRL or the rugby league, and they want people to, you know, open their first ever betting account with them. And the $2 lines is a way of getting people in. Now, this presents a really great opportunity for value, but also a good opportunity for middling if you want to do that. And so I've never really done middling before, but I thought I'll give it a crack. So I know that no matter what the line moves to, no matter what the line is now, it's always going to be $2. I'm going to be able to get $2 on it every time. So what I did was I used TradeMate. So I got a rugby league preset, and I set the bookmaker up in there. And basically, like, if there was any kind of movement, so let's just say, hopefully there's some Australians on here who understand what I'm saying. Let's say the Broncos are playing the Titans. Injury news comes in. David Fifita's out, really good player for the Titans, can't play. The odds are going to go down on the Broncos. So is the line. The line's going to go down too. So what I do in that scenario is I get an alert on TradeMate, and I just go and smash, just put as much as you can on the Broncos at, let's say, plus 10. Broncos at plus 10. At $2. Let's just, how about we write this down so it's really... I don't know if you guys are going to even be able to see this. Can I make it bigger or? Oh, here we go. Happy days. All right. So that's the bet you place. But you know that the Broncos line is going to come into like plus 9 or plus 8 or something like that. So market moves and then the line goes to, let's just say, Broncos plus 8. But you're going to bet the other side. So that means Titans minus 8. And you get that at 2 again because you get $2 lines. So now what we have is a situation. Let's just say you've got $500 on each one. So if the Titans win, you know what? Let's make this really easier. Okay, so if the Titans win by 9 points or more, you win that bet. If the Broncos win the game, or if they lose by 10 or less, win. Okay, but what happens if the Broncos, sorry, this is where I go, this takes me a few minutes, I'm a bit slow. What if the Titans win by, yeah, sorry. I'm so bad at this. If the Titans win by 9 points, you'll see that if the Titans win by 9 points, but if they also win by 10 points, that both of these bets win. So let's say in the middle we've got Titans win by 9 or 10. So I'm very slow at this. So if the Titans win by 9 points, you win this bet because you've got minus 9, 8.5. If they win by 10 points, they win because you've got minus 8.5. If the Titans win by 9 points, you've got plus 10.5 for the Broncos, you win. If it's 10.5 Broncos and they win by 10 points, you win that bet too. So if the Titans win by 9 or 10 points, you win both of these bets. But if it falls outside of that, the Titans win by 8, the Broncos win by 8, whatever, then you are going to break even because you've got two in odds. So I've been placing a couple of these, haven't hit the middle yet, obviously, but if you hit the middle, you're going to win big. If you don't hit the middle, you break even. So it's a sure profit, not a sure profit, but it's a, I think, I don't know what they call it in middling. I did a video about this a while ago. But yeah, this just shows what I'm saying. Overall, what I'm trying to say, I've gone on a bit of a circle here, but if you notice a bookmaker like Skybet or any kind of bookmaker is sponsoring a sport or a league or a team, look into it a bit more and see if you reckon their odds are the best in the market, because there's a good chance that they are offering zero margin betting. And yeah, you can exploit exploit the bookies. All right, there's lots of questions coming in. Marinko says, if anyone is betting on MMA poker slots, quite often have really high odds. Yes, that's a good point, Marius. Donnie Brasco, maybe get first, make them addicted. Then after 1 or 2 years, they will change their true odds to it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Donnie. You're completely right, mate. Sorry, mate. I American odds are for pros. Sorry, Donnie, mate. I'm not a pro, so I can't use American odds. It's just easier. I mean, I could easily change this to +100. So, yeah, do that. Neil, really good question. How often these middle betting opportunities come up? Well, if a certain this you can do this with any sport. So if you're noticing that you probably can't do this with MMA because there's not really a line in MMA, but in any sport where you do get a spread or a handicap and there's a big movement and you know that a bookmaker offers boosted odds on an event or a sport, or they offer very, very close to zero margin, then just keep that in your back of your mind. So what, like in this case, I could have gone, okay, the market's moved towards the Broncos. I could have put a huge amount of money on the Broncos just because let's just say I put $200 on the Broncos. Have $100 there as my value bet. Like that's my value bet. I'm going to let that ride. Hopefully it wins, whatever. Anyway, I've got plus EV, but have the other $100 on the line too, and then have another $100 on the other side with the Titans. So then where you've got a situation where you've got one plus EV bet, and then on the other side you've got a middle bet too. So you could win that middle bet, which would be superb, or maybe you'll just break even and, like this scenario, get your money back. So I would say these opportunities probably arise, you know, for me, and it depends on the bookmaker and how quickly they are at adapting to the odds. But I think these can arise pretty quickly. You just need to be very quick on your toes and be thinking, if money's coming in for one team to be able to, I guess, be ready to place a bet. Carl says it's basically a free bet. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, free bet with a chance of doubling your money. Tom Berry, American odds are for Americans. Well said, mate. Neil says, I know that marathon do 0% margin on some markets if your accounts last that long with them to exploit it. Yeah. Very well said, mate. Carl says mine went after 48 hours. Seems like a normal thing. Do you have real results audited by a third party such as Blogabit? We did actually. Not Blogabit, but Blogabit did a review of us, I think. We've had reviews done by so many different people, organizations, whatever. Smart Sports Trader, Ryan Bruno's done one. Smart Betting Club, Day 20 Daily Profits, Punters the Pro, Church of Betting. These are just ones that are off the top of my head that have done reviews of TradeMate. Global Extra Money. But in terms of auditing the actual TradeMate results, Smart Betting Club did a really good review of us where they actually go in and use, I mean, all of them use the software when they do a review of it. But, they do like really deep analytics and look into all sorts of things. So Smart Betting Club is probably the one that's done the biggest audit. Yeah. Dakota Hutchinson, I need some water. If you bet in the morning and know which way the line's going to move, in the USA you should have a middle opportunity for every game in which the lines move enough that margin of victory. Yep. Great point, mate. 13 Gibney says, do you have affordability checks in gambling in Australia like the UK, and do bookies use the information to their advantage? in your, I'm not too sure. I'm very, very slow on all these like gambling rules and acts and all this kind of stuff. So I never, for me, it's just, I don't know, I just get bored reading technical kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm not the person to ask about that at all. The only good thing about Australia is that we have minimum bet laws on horse racing, greyhounds and harness racing. So you have to be allowed to win a certain amount of money, or at least that's how it's supposed to work on certain races. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, sorry, Dakota said here 20% of the time, if you're betting even money, then any middle is plus EV. Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. So I was getting a bit caught up in saying that if, let's just say, you bet $2 lines every time, you are betting true odds, so it's break even EV. But yeah, if you're getting a middle, if you've made a middle with even money, then yeah, everything is plus EV. Yeah, sorry, got a bit confused reading that one. B Alpha says, do you not think focusing on exchange trading is a better use of your time? I know 2.5% is good, but exchange trading can be a lot more profitable. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, but yeah, as Moringa has just has commented, 2.5% ROI with a big bankroll is good. And I would say a lot bigger bankroll than what the average TradeMate user would have. So 2.5%, I mean, I've turned over like 350K or something. So when you're turning over that kind of money, then 2.5% ROI is very, very nice, especially when you're just doing this as a part-time, like, you know, side hustle or whatever you want to call it. But you are right. The problem with the exchanges overall, you can run all these simulations, find profitable presets, great, but liquidity is one of the biggest problems. So rarely will you be able to place the full Kelly stake that the TradeMate recommends, 30% Kelly. So that's the biggest problem. Yeah. All right. I think that's all I really wanted to say about that. But yeah, hopefully, I mean, at the end of the day, I just want you to open up your guys' eyes on certain things. So if overall, if you notice a bookmaker's promoting certain things, take advantage of it. Carl, I'll give you Broncos plus 10 each week, mate. I'll take the other side any day of the week, champion. That's Broncos plus 10. Oh, geez. Yeah, I know. Sorry. If anyone that knows their rugby, the line here should be about Broncos plus 50 because they are that useless. So look out for promotions, look out for a bookmaker that's really trying to like show off that they've got the best odds on any kind of sport, and see if you can take advantage of that, because some of the time they will give out basically zero margin odds. So that's beautiful for us. Do you bet half time, full time trades? No, I don't, Luke. Okay, why don't we do the giveaway? All right, so I've come up with a question, and whoever answers it first can have a free month of TradeMate Sports Analytics Package. You have to be a user though, or maybe someone here is thinking of starting. If you're thinking of starting, then whenever you sign up, then I can give you this free month of TradeMate Sports Analytics. So the question is, I can't write this question. Oh, maybe I can. I'll just say it out loud. Who received a red card in the Leeds Manchester City match? It's a bit of an easy one. You could probably Google it, but we'll see who comes in first, and you can get a nice little free month of TradeMate Sports analytics. But I guess the winner will probably be someone who already knows. This is very exciting. Waiting. Oh, look at that. Dakota Hutchinson. Well done, mate. He's come in. Everyone's just smashed in Cooper. I love that. I think there was how many times I've got here on the clock in 12 seconds, four people wrote Liam Cooper. So you got to be quick. But well done, Dakota. Harry Kuehl, love it, Dan. Love it. Yeah, so Dakota, if you shoot me a message on Twitter, if you go on my Twitter handle, it's @AlexVella_, then you can reach me there, mate, and I will make sure to give you a free month of. And if you don't have Twitter though, then message our customer support and say Alex said that I get a free month of analytics, and then they'll probably just check in with me, and I will say yes, that's okay. All right, terrific. Has anyone got any more questions? Last chance to send them through. Well done, Dakota. Good luck, mate. Have some fun with that. Spend a good month on that. Some great answers here, though. Mark Viduka, Harry Kuehl, I mean, tremendous stuff, fellas. Good to see that there's some Australian spirit out there. But yeah, I've got I'm done for the day, unless you guys have any last questions. I will call it a day. I'll give you guys 30 seconds to send anything through. But yeah, thanks for watching, everyone. It's been tremendous. Maybe actually to end off, we could, if anyone's got any suggestions of things you'd like me to talk about in future streams, or maybe some guests you'd like me to have on. Maybe there's been a podcast that I've done in the past that you guys really enjoyed, and you thought, oh, I'd love to ask this guy some questions myself, or yeah. Yeah, send any suggestions through now, or hit me up on Twitter @AlexVella_. I'd love to, yeah, any feedback. Like, I honestly, this Sunday streams thing is for you guys. This is not about it's not about like me dreaming up all sorts of certain topics or whatever. Like, I mean, I guess that's what I'm doing, but like I want to entertain you guys, give you guys some more insight, more education. So I'd rather be educating you guys on or helping you out with things that you care about and want to know more about. So yeah, send that through. Neil said, who's up next week? Oh, I've got no one so at the moment, so I've tried to hit a few people up, but I'm getting rejected left, right and center. But I'll see if I can work something out this week. But yeah, any suggestions? It could just be me again, which would be very boring. But Fern and Gimme, do you bet MMA? NBA, yes mate, but using Trade Mate. Yeah, and I also do bet a bit of NBA using a certain tipster. But yeah, do you ever bet on chess? No. Sorry, Marinka, I'm sure does. Yeah, as he says. So, yeah, don't know a thing about chess. Paul Gallen versus Lucas Brown, Aussie insight. Oh Jesus Christ, mate, I don't. I've actually never watched Paul Gallen box, and I know that Lucas Brown was a former champion, heavyweight champion somewhere. So, oh yeah, from the perspective of I have no idea, I would say Paul Gallen has been a rugby league player his whole career, and Lucas Brown has been a boxer his whole career. So, I don't know what the odds are, but I mean, he did beat Mark Hunt. I never watched that fight. He did beat Mark Hunt. But you would think Lucas Brown should be a better boxer than Mark Hunt because that's his trade. So, fuck me. I don't know. Just having a punt here, fellas. Donny Brasco, after 1 month, we will get a video on Dakota with profits on Trevor. Let's hope, mate. Carl reckons Paul Gallen. It's good to see some you guys, you know, knowing a bit of rugby league and Aussie sports. It's great. I could talk Australian sports all day. Get Ben Cray. Cray, who's that? Let me know who Ben Cray is. Or Cra, whatever. Neil's back on. Someone wants Neil back on. Carl, yeah, share the results you find, Dakota. Big Nigel Seeley, there's an option. Big Nige. Yeah, all right. I did plan to get him on at some point. So, yeah, Big Nigel, he'll come on at some point, don't you worry. Do you know if the commission and the uncertainty of the real odds have a real correlation? Do you know if the commission... Can you just elaborate on that a bit more, Pablo? Carl, is the rugby league presets just NRL or Super League as well? All rugby league I have in my preset. If you guys want to know what bookmaker, I've kind of said it all now. But yeah, if you're in Australia, yeah, Neds and Ladbrokes offer $2 lines. So there's the bookmaker that offers $2 lines in Australia. They don't pay me enough to come back on. Hulk AR fan here, sadly. Yeah, I don't really follow the Super League, though. Maybe one day. Maybe one day I'll get into the Super League. Or actually, Carl, let me know. There's an English hooker that the Titans are chasing. He's supposed to be like the second best after Josh Hodgson. I can't remember his name. But let me know if he's decent. Because I'm a Titans fan, so I'd love to know if he's any good. Oh, sorry. Ben Cra on Twitter, pro punter in Australia. All right. I'll write that down somewhere. I'll try and remember that. I'll look into that, mate. But he's not going to want to come on at 5 o'clock in the morning. So we might have to just do a podcast with him. Penny sometimes have 3% commission. Or, I mean, maybe we should put it as margin, yeah, in liquid markets and 8 to 10% in non-liquid markets. So if the commission is higher, does that mean that they are not sure about the real odds? Yes. Yeah, that's one of the great... It's obviously bad that they take a bigger margin or a VIG, bigger VIG, but that means they're scared, if that's a word. They're more scared and they're not as confident in their odds. So in any situation... where you see a big VIG or a big margin on any odds, it means that they're not confident in their odds. And it means that if there is a big swift move in the market, you will be able to take advantage of them because they have kind of just left that market to the side as something that they just have to have because to stay competitive. Like, let's just say Bet365, they'll offer markets on passes, cards, all these kind of smaller niche markets. And they take a huge margin on them, like the over-under line on a Kyle Walker passing, as George highlighted on the podcast, was 183. That was the line, 183. That means that they take that's a huge margin. But it means that if there's a shift in the market, easy to take advantage of. Bigger margins are bad, but it also means that they're not confident in their odds. So they are, in some cases, easier to take advantage of. The smaller the margin, the more confident they are in their odds and very hard to beat. All right. See you guys. It's been fun. And I will open up my DMs now for you, Dakota. See you guys next week.